The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We're back. It's the final hour of the show already at 11:04. So good to have you along. Phone number here is 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. Congressman and Colorado GOP Chairman Ken Buck will join us at about 11:25 with a lot to talk about. A new book, what's happening in the House Judiciary Committee in Washington, D.C., the state of the Colorado GOP. You don't get a lot of truth about that. And so we'll spend some time and talk about all those things when Ken Buck joins us in just a little while. This is interesting. Mayor Hancock delivers his State of the City address on Monday morning at 10 a.m. All patriots with Harleys are welcome. I don't know if I can make it 10 o'clock Monday, but I wonder where he's going to deliver it from. If the texter knows, I hope you'll let me know. Is it outside? Will it be on the beautiful, well-protected Capitol steps? Not? Very, very interesting. Anyway, we spent a lot of time talking about Bloody Sunday and the 6th Annual Colorado Law Enforcement Appreciation Day rally last week. And what's next? There is a next coming, I promise. And it just occurred to me, completely out of the blue, I think, and he'll correct me if I'm wrong here in a second, that morning in Parker, last Sunday morning in Parker at 10 o'clock, was a massive Back the Blue rally. The only level of protest that we had were a few chumps driving by with the one-fingered peace signs, and then one driver came by and dumped nails into Parker Avenue, nails into the street. But for the most part, it was 10 or 1,500 people lining Parker and Ponderosa right around Wes's coffee cabin. Flags, blue line, thin blue line flags, American flags, music was playing, Pledge of Allegiance, great remarks and speeches. It was just a wonderful thing, and I handed out about 200 flyers there to let people know about our rally. You know, for people who are questioning the turnout, let me just remind you, for our downtown rally, we applied for a permit, Ron did in June, end of June. And we didn't get the permit until Thursday, just before the rally. So we didn't want to lock everybody down or put out the word if they weren't going to give us the permit. And they were trying to talk us out of it the whole time. So, it was great to be down there and hand out the flyers. Everybody was very, very receptive. I don't know how many folks from that event came downtown because there were people who were concerned about the location. But as I recall, our next guest, the only identified Republican candidate for governor in the race right now, Greg Lopez. Didn't I see you up on that stage, brother?
Yep. You know, it was a great event down here in Parker, Randy. I mean, you know, like you described it, it was really a very patriotic, you know, supporting our men and women in uniform, our police officers, and you know, we couldn't be prouder. You know, and like you said, very minimal disruption. But, you know, I think what we saw here in Parker is, you know, it's the majority of the population, you know, this is how they feel, you know, and they want to support our police officers.
Without a doubt. And, you know, I've had some disagreements, for instance, with Douglas County Sheriff Tony Spurlock, especially when Red Flag came out. We've also ridden motorcycles together. We do pro-police rallies in Douglas County in February, typically. We've done those for the last 6 years as well. And as soon as I saw him, man, he came up to me and we wrapped arms around each other because it was just a moment of unity and support. Men and women in law enforcement are besieged right now. People lie about the numbers of blacks who are killed by police, all of those kinds of things. 10 o'clock last Sunday morning in Parker was practically a spiritual event full of patriotism and people who were just happy to be outside, to be in America, and have an opportunity to say thank you.
That's right. You know what? And right now, Randy, you drive by that location and the flags are still up. There's no vandalism. I mean, both the American flag and the black and blue flag are still waving proud.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. I know Wes. We go back now a couple of years. I stopped in. I realized what a patriot he is. And Wes Crisp is his name at Coffee Cabin there. And so I started frequenting that place. And he has developed a reputation in the community over a decade plus of just serving great food and coffee and his little drive-through thing and supporting law enforcement and the military and the community that he lives in. And to see his place was vandalized, they stole the flags, they marked up the window, all kinds of things. And I'll tell you, Greg, as someone who goes there all the time, he had about four flags for the last couple of years. After the vandals came, did damage and stole the flags, he's got 14 flags there now, all donated by the community. I mean, it really came back to burn the vandalizers.
It did. Look, I mean, and this is really what we need to do, right? We need to be strong and bold and courageous, and we need to support each other, just like we did with him with the flag. Anytime we gather from now on, Randy, anytime we are gathering as patriots, as Americans, and fighting for our values and our freedoms and our liberties, we must come out in mass groups because we know now that, you know, Antifa, I don't even call them Black Lives Matter anymore because I think they've ambushed and hijacked that title. It's Antifa that's out there trying to destroy our communities and destroy
our country. Let me correct you on that, because Black Lives Matter, from its inception, the co-founder back in 2015, you can see the video very easily on YouTube, talks about their Marxist philosophy, that they are agitators and organizers. So they didn't need to be co-opted by Antifa. They are mutually supportive.
No, you're right. You know what? And thank you for making that clarity, because, you know, a lot of people think that when they hear Black Lives Matter, and you just made a very good clarity, is that, you know, it's not about just people that are concerned about our brothers and sisters. There is a group out there, like you just described. They are not here to be Americans. You know, they want to create chaos and they want to do destruction. So you're absolutely correct.
Now, there were, I don't know, couple hundred maybe people milling around before our event downtown was starting. And I was up on stage most of the time, so I didn't get to see everybody who was there. But were you at the rally downtown?
I was not able to make it, you know, and I had to be at a wedding, unfortunately, that day. My hope was that I could go to the wedding and then I could go to the last part of the rally, but it just didn't work out.
Okay. Well, we do have to put family first, don't we? So let me just ask you, when you're running for governor, and that race is a long way away, no super focus on it because we have a very important election right coming up in November. But when you see what's been allowed to happen by Jared Polis, this guy,
I don't want it.
What are your thoughts, and what is your strategy? And I don't mean, you know, your public election strategy, but how are you going to approach what's happened under the rule of Jared Polis with the virus and with the domestic violence and terrorism that's going on downtown?
Let me tell you, you know what? As you know, I ran in 2018. I was on the primary ballot. Was not successful. You know, I tried to help Walker as much as I could. But because I knew in my heart that if we had a Democrat elected, we were going to turn Colorado into California. What I didn't know was that Governor Polis was going to do all this craziness and really come down with a hard hammer of government, you know, with COVID-19, you know, and just ignoring the people's house, not even caring about what the people's house looks like, you know. And so as I watch this, you know, I'm just appalled at his lack of leadership, of his lack of concern for us as Coloradans and taking care of our image, our brand. The Colorado brand throughout the country has been known as, you know, a strong West. We got good moral values. We work hard. You know, we invite people to come out here and enjoy our wilderness, enjoy the outdoors. But I'm going to tell you, after what he's allowed to happen downtown, not only at the Capitol building with the vandalism and so forth, but, you know, the whole homeless camps. I mean, you look at Liberty Park. Liberty Park, which is right across the Capitol, the grass is as yellow as the day is long. They're not taking care of anything down there. You know, and what I would do as governor, you know, first of all, I would definitely remove all these 150 executive orders that he's got out there. You know, he's drunk on power. And what he's doing is he's basically, you know, doing whatever he wants. You know, they say, Randy, that if you want to test the character of a man, give him power. Well, we definitely know what the character of Governor Polis is. And he could care less about rural Colorado. He could care less about the people's house, and he could care less about small business. Just shutting them down with no real justification. The numbers aren't there, and he's just spinning those numbers so that he can get justification in his mind that what he's doing is in the best interest of Colorado, and that is just wrong. And I'm going to tell you, as I travel the state, tens of thousands of people are starting to come out and say, you know what, we've had it. We need a new governor. We need to change them. It's too bad we got to wait another 2 years, but they're not happy with him turning Colorado into California.
And Greg, I tell you, man, if I had the time, I could be at an event, a group of people getting together, organizing with other people, not only for the election, but to be coalitions of small businesses, coalitions of protection, and just a host of other things are underway in Colorado right now. I've seen you at some of those events that I've been to. It is really heartening as a Colorado native to see the awakening that's going on around our state. So how can people kind of keep tabs on you? Because it's going to get real serious after November.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Well, let me tell all your listeners this. Like you said earlier, look, the governor's election is not until 2022, but folks, we need to take back Colorado one step at a time. And what we can do in November, we got to make sure we get President Trump reelected. We got to make sure we get Cory Gardner reelected. And most importantly, we got to make sure we win back the state Senate, because that is the only roadblock that we can put in play right now. If you're concerned about what's going on in Colorado and you want to stop the madness, you make sure that you go out there and you support the Republican candidates that are running for the state Senate. Now, for me, I would encourage everyone, go to LopezForGovernor2022.com. That's my website. Go there. Read about me. If you don't know much about me, follow me on Facebook. Every Monday at 4 o'clock, I have been putting a live feed on my Facebook page, LopezForGovernor2022, and I talk about what the governor's been doing the past week, how he's destroying Colorado, and also talk the truth about these COVID numbers and what they really mean for our state and how he's hurting small business.
So, Greg Lopez, if people go to that website, will they be reminded about your sort of online town halls every Monday? Because that's very important.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Give the website one more time.
It's LopezForGovernor2022.com.
Thank you for your time today, Greg, and good luck. I'll see you on the trail out there.
All right, thanks, Eddie. Take care. Have a good one.
Better believe it. Let's get to Wes calling in from Pennsylvania. Good morning, Wes. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
Doing very, very well, sir. Thank you.
You know, I went to school in Denver and had a house in Georgetown for years and years. Live here in Pennsylvania now, but I watched your adversaries. They had that streaming live on YouTube, and if you can get that, you should get a copy of that tape for your lawsuit.
Can you send me a link?
I didn't get a link for it.
Think you could find it again?
Maybe. I'll see if I can find it.
All right.
But they had broadcast the whole thing from their perspective. They showed surrounding the your amphitheater there. They showed them marching on, spraying the silly string on everybody, interacting with the police and your people. It was really ugly.
Yes, it was. And
it was real ugly.
And wasn't it weird to see the no police in sight until after they had infiltrated completely into the amphitheater and onto the stage? And then the police showed up and circled all of us in, not completely either. They just drew a couple of lines, especially behind us eventually on the stage, with all of us in there together. It was extraordinary. And there was fisticuffs on the stage, blood and guts. It was an incredible experience. I haven't been in a street fight since I lived in a place called East Lake, Colorado. That was the last brawl I was involved in. But we learned a lot from it. And so since nobody was seriously or permanently injured, we'll take the education, take our lumps, and live to fight another day.
But if you can get that video, you'll see the whole thing from their perspective, because they were filming it. They were doing it.
Very good.
You started at 3. They started at 2.
Well, Wes, I really appreciate you listening and calling in from Pennsylvania and giving me that tip. If you do find it, we'll look forward to. But if you find it, 710KNUS.com, Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, email the show. Will you do that for me, sir?
Yeah, I will do that. I'll take a look now if I'm still sitting at my computer.
All right. Thank you so very much. And let's get to our break now. We'll have Ken Buck on the other side. We've got some callers to squeeze into. We'll probably take them first. But Ken Buck should be joining us on the other side, 303-696-1971, 710-KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710-KNUS.
We are back at 11:25. So good to have you along. Can't believe the show is almost done. Let's get to John in Westminster while we wait for Congressman and Colorado State GOP Chairman Ken Buck. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Randy. First off, I just want to say how much I appreciate your leadership. Were it not for you and others like you here in Colorado, I would despair about our state. But we do have hope with men like you leading us. So appreciate it much. My wife and I were at the rally on Sunday. We showed up early, and we went over to the Antifa side to listen in on what was happening. The thing that really got to me was the organization that this group has and the lack that we have. This group crossed Broadway, crossed the homeless encampment, and literally assaulted our group. These were not legitimate protesters. They were there simply to interrupt us, to shut us down, and to beat us down, as we've noted on several occasions or in the media.
Yeah, domestic terrorists are the easiest definition for them. John, thank you so much for you and your wife coming down to what everybody knew could be kind of a risky proposition last Sunday. And I just want to leave you with this. We've got Ken Buck on the line now, but I believe, and thank you for your compliments on leadership, that sort of thing, but I believe that the Democrats, the anarchists, the radical leftists that are in control of the Democrat Party have so overplayed their hand, not just in Colorado, but in Democrat-controlled cities and states all around the country, that it creates a tremendous opportunity for victory here in Colorado, and certainly to reelect President Donald J. Trump. And thank you so much for listening, and again, for just having the courage to show up. It really, really makes a difference. God bless you, John.
We'll keep doing it, Randy. Lead on.
Better believe it. Thank you, sir. And let's get to him. Busy man these days, as we head into election season in November, chairman of the Colorado State GOP. But Congress is underway. Big hearing coming up this week that we'll talk about. New book in the works. Congressman, GOP Chairman Ken Buck, where in the world do you want to start, man?
All of the above. Let's go.
All right. Well, why don't we talk about the book first? We'll get into the hearings that are coming up, Bill Barr and others, and then we'll save our final segment to give people a true update on what's going on in Colorado.
That sounds great. That sounds great, Randy.
So book-wise, your first book was so good. And I really enjoyed getting to read it as you were putting it together, and knowing all of the top secret things that you initially wrote and then took out before it went into print. It was just well done, draining the swamp. And I don't even know how it sold or anything, but it sure provided good information for people like me about just how disgusting it is trying to work there in Washington, D.C. What's next? What can people be looking forward in book two?
So we are now in the process of pre-sales, and the book comes out August 4th. The name of it is Capital of Freedom. As you know, I think we've talked about this in the past, Randy. I give tours of the Capitol in the evening after our business is concluded, and I have gone around with various historians and learned a lot of things about the Capitol. And I am so impressed that the Capitol just has these architectural features, these paintings, statues, stories that occurred in the Capitol that talk about the foundational principles of this country. And everywhere you look, there are signs and symbols of religious freedom and Second Amendment rights and separation of powers. And I have taken those and put them together and talked about the constitutional principles and then how the left, the progressives, are trying to move away from those constitutional principles. So I delivered the original manuscript to the publisher in before Thanksgiving of last year. And this cancel culture has made the book so relevant because in order to get to the socialist, godless society that the Antifa and other socialists want to get to, they have to get past our Constitution. They have to get past our founding principles. So they have to destroy our history. And piece by piece, they're tearing down a statue here. They're changing a name of a building there or of a school, of a football team. It's all related to how they can ignore the Constitution or rewrite the Constitution to fit their needs.
It really is incredible. And while Nancy Pelosi is going around and taking down portraits of prior speakers of the House because of what they were connected with in history back at the time, do you ever get a chance to talk to her and say, well, since we're changing names, shouldn't we do something with the name Democratic Party? Because your party was the founder of the Ku Klux Klan. Your party was the party that supported slavery and opposed freedom and opposed the Civil Rights Act and on and on and on. Robert Byrd, the grand poobah wizard of the KKK, a revered figure down there. I'm guessing Nancy Pelosi hasn't gone after Byrd's portrait, has she?
No, but ironically, the four portraits that she took down were all Democrats. all Confederate sympathizers and all Democrats. Louis Gohmert, my friend from Texas, introduced a privilege resolution to remove the name Democratic Party from the building and from any stationery that goes out because of its racist nature. So we will actually have a vote. Now, they may do it at midnight or 2 a.m. or something when no one's looking, but we will have a vote on that privileged resolution. The door that she opened is such a terrible place to go because, if tomorrow they may be speaker, and they never will, and I'm not running for it, but if that happened, what's to stop a Ken Buck from saying, hey, everybody who supported abortion and it was a speaker gets their portrait removed. Everybody, this idea that we're going to rewrite history and ignore obviously people achieve the position of speaker because they were well respected by their colleagues. So it's just amazing to me that she thinks that when they impeach a president with absolutely no basis, that they think that's the last time that a worthless impeachment is going to happen? Do they think this is the last time that portraits are going to be taken down?
Well, it's really all about the November election, isn't it? I mean, once if Trump wins, it will continue another 4 years. If Biden wins, all of this, including the lockdowns around the country and everything else, will just suddenly magically subside.
No doubt about it. I think that, and I agree with your analysis with the previous caller that This is really accruing to the benefit of Republicans and Republican candidates who are standing up against these anarchists, because I think that people want, it's fine to have a debate over whether a statue of a Confederate war general should be in a public square. I think that's up to the town to have that debate, and their elected officials can decide whether to remove it or not. But to tear it down is something that is really scary to people. And I think that suburban moms, I think that people all around the state of Colorado see what's happening in Denver. That isn't, our state capitol isn't a structure that is owned by the city and county of Denver. That's a structure that's owned by the people of the state of Colorado. And when mobs desecrate that building, they are insulting every single citizen in the state of Colorado. And that's what's so unfortunate, is that the governor hasn't called out the state patrol to protect state property.
It is incredible to watch them just stand back. He did clear the tent city that enveloped three-fourths of the governor's mansion yesterday for some reason. But just imagine the beautiful I've been at parties in the governor's mansion from leadership program the Rockies and other events that have gone on down. Just such a beautiful historic place for Colorado, and the houses around that neighborhood. It's a beautiful old Denver neighborhood with really upscale homes and yards. And he allowed for weeks and weeks these tents, and these were not homeless people. These were people who'd get out in the evenings and go banging through the neighborhoods. And I heard this myself one night a week or two ago on the bullhorn shouting, "Hey, white boy, listen up before you go to bed." And then they'd go down a list of black people, I guess, who were killed by police officers. And they just permitted it. And I don't know what triggered him to go ahead and clean it up, but it's I just cannot imagine that outside of Denver and Boulder and a few other liberal places that people are very happy with the direction that Colorado is going right now. And that could bode very, very well for us. I don't want to jump into Colorado politics just yet, because there's some interesting things going on in Congress. Before I ask you about that, I just want you to know I heard that floor speech that Louis Gohmert gave. I had gotten to meet him a couple of times. I really love Louis Gohmert. And I was going to play the audio before with you while you were on. I just couldn't get a good recording of it. But he's hilarious. He is super smart, bold, and just takes no prisoners practically every time he opens his mouth.
You know, I sit next to him in Judiciary Committee, and one, he brings great M&Ms, and I always appreciate that. But he is funny, and he is he's witty, and you know, he's a former judge and prosecutor, and I just I like the way he sees the world, and he's from an area of Texas where he can speak his mind and not worry about retribution.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. So you mentioned the Judiciary Committee. It's going to be a very interesting week in Judiciary, even though Republicans are in the minority there. Tell everybody what they can be looking forward to.
So Tuesday, the Attorney General Bill Barr will be in the Judiciary Committee. And obviously the Democrats are just foaming at the mouth, and they are ready to attack the Attorney General for so many things that are so unfair, really, because attorney generals in the past, like Eric Holder, have done far worse in terms of partisan activity than this attorney general. But this attorney general will be attacked. And you're right. It's all about November. There are a lot of Republicans like myself who are going to be asking questions of this attorney general about, you know, the Democrats are saying, well, the president sent these stormtroopers out to stop peaceful protests in cities across America. The president has asked federal agents to go and protect federal property because these socialist mayors in these big cities are not protecting federal property. And the president's doing the right thing. If the mayors don't want to protect state property, that's something that they should take up with the governor. They don't want to protect city property. That's their business, and hopefully the voters kick them out of office. But the president's doing the right thing in protecting federal property. So that's just one example of the back and forth that we'll see coming up in on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, we have an antitrust hearing with the four executives, the chief executive officers from Apple, Facebook, Google, and Amazon. and talking about antitrust, talking about bias on these platforms, and talking about privacy.
Just absolutely fascinating. I don't know if you saw this. Jared Polis tweeted out a couple of days ago now, "The brave members of our military defend our freedom abroad. They should not be deployed in Colorado to beat up our fellow Americans expressing their free speech."
Yeah.
It's just a complete it's not a misunderstanding. Jared Polis is no dummy. It is an intentional mischaracterization of what's happening. And by the way, federal law enforcement is not federal military either.
Absolutely. And you know, if the governor of Colorado protected federal property, you wouldn't see anybody needing to do what the federal government needs to do. One of the things in my book, if I can just go back to that,
sure.
Randy, I talk about the fact that the reason we have the District of Columbia is because the Capitol was located in Philadelphia. Revolutionary War veterans weren't getting their pension, and so they shut down Congress, and the governor of Pennsylvania refused to do anything because for political reasons he didn't want to make a group of veterans mad. And so Washington, Jefferson, Madison, and Adams had a dinner, and they mapped out this District of Columbia, and it is a federal enclave. And now the Democrats are trying to create a state so that they get two extra votes in the Senate. And if you look at what's happening to federal property around the country, there's a very good reason why we have a federal district and why it needs to be protected.
We've got a break coming up. We'll spend our last segment together with Congressman Ken Buck, also the Colorado State GOP chairman, talking about Colorado politics. Just a lot of misinformation going on around the state about the Trump campaign and what's happening on the ground here. But before we go to break, Ken, the name of the book, Capital of Freedom, pre-sales already going on or starting, did you say, on August the 4th?
Pre-sales are going on now. It's on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and it will be in the bookstores on August 4th.
Now, where is my Suck Up to the New Republican National Committee Man copy?
That's a good question. I think it's in the mail.
There you go. All right, let's take our break. So we've got a good long segment with Congressman Ken Buck, who will return on the other side in his role as your Colorado State GOP chairman. Stay with us here at 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
That appears to be pretty self-evident in light of everything that's going on around the state. The criminals, the domestic terrorists, the basement dwellers have the streets right now, but only because our leadership is allowing it. And everything that's going on after our Back the Blue 6th Annual Colorado Law Enforcement Appreciation Day rally last Sunday, which turned into a riot, just solidifies my confidence in what's happening as we move forward in Colorado heading toward November 3rd, Election Day. I like to say November 4th in case the Democrats forget and go in on Wednesday to vote, but with mail-in ballots, that's probably not very effective. Congressman Ken Buck has stayed with us. He's the chairman of the Colorado State GOP, and Ken, I don't know if you're back in town yet. Are you here this weekend?
I am here today. Okay. I fly out early tomorrow morning. My granddaughter's first birthday is today, so I am looking forward to that.
How exciting. Well, I got to tell you, there was this F, and they didn't just stop with the F the Fed rally or protest. Shouldn't call it a rally, a protest downtown. And I couldn't find any news about it on Colorado Politics or on the Denver Post. So I don't even know what happened last night. We haven't talked about it at all. But I've had multiple people send me in a picture of this flyer that was distributed to what, however many rioters showed up in downtown Denver last night. Let me read just a little bit of this propaganda that's going out there. Republicans created slavery 400 years ago against the rule of law and must be stopped for the underlined bold final time. How many more of us must die by the bloody hands of Republicans? They even started a civil war to keep slavery. UNICEF reports that Trump, The climate denier and big oil will kill 40 million at-risk people next year. Imagine how bright the world will be when all 50 million Republicans are eliminated. We can do it in one night. I mean, this is the garbage that's going around. Is the impression of chaos and organization and some kind of solidarity on the left going to influence or work with Colorado voters in November?
Well, I got to tell you, Randy, first of all, anybody that has gone to grade school should be able to realize that that's absolute nonsense. And that's part of the problem we have is our education system just doesn't teach people who's responsible for slavery and who promoted it and why this a flyer like that is so not just historically accurate, but ignorant. And no, I think that what's happening right now is people are seeing the kind of chaos they will get if Joe Biden is elected. They're seeing the kind of chaos that we will get if the Democrats take control of the United States Senate. And we can't tolerate it, and we've got to work even harder. It's not good enough to sit home, lock your door, and get your shotgun out. You've got to get out. You've got to knock on doors. You've got to get your neighbors to vote, and we've got to educate people, and we are. The RNC, the Trump campaign, the Gardner campaign are doing an amazing job in Colorado.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit because, you know, all I hear, and I hear this from folks on, you know, my side of the right, Tea Party patriots, others who express frustration with the Republican Party. I hear a lot of it on the radio, sometimes even here on the station, for people who are equating the Republican Party of 2020 with the Republican Party of 2018, Walker Stapleton, 2016, and going back, you know, every couple of years prior. And this is a different Colorado State GOP. Number one, you and Christy Burton Brown are at the head. But number two, just from a pure mechanical and financial and utilization of tools that are available, you guys are doing things a whole different way. And I think it's important that people know exactly what that means.
Well, Randy, first of all, you've got to stop referring to yourself as a Tea Party patriot because you're now establishment. You are a national committee man. And just like me, you know, what we were before, somehow we've been corrupted by trying to help and move the party in the right direction. But I think you're absolutely right. We have historically never seen the amount of resources that we see now, both in 50 paid staff in Colorado for the Republican Party, as well as hundreds and hundreds of volunteers. We have made 2 million voter contacts in Colorado in the last 6 months. 2 million voter contacts, and those add up, and it adds up to a victory in November. I understand that people don't see a lot of what's happening right now because the press refuses to cover the real story that's out there, and that is the reaction to the anarchy. And I can tell you that when I talk to these volunteers and I listen to these volunteers, I hear stories about how they knock on doors and the information they're getting and how concerned people are about the direction this state is headed.
I hope people complain, well, where's Ken Buck on this issue or on that issue? And I know you're in Congress, but you were one of the first retweets I saw calling out the weatherman, Marty Coniglio, when he tweeted out a picture of brown shirts and Hitler and a Nazi flag behind them. And he said, federal police in cities. Now, where have I seen that before? You got almost 1,500 likes and 500 retweets when you said comparing the brave men and women of our law enforcement community to Nazis is absolutely reprehensible. And, you know, as a sitting congressman and a party chair, it's not your job to be slugging all these punching people in the mouth, figuratively. But you are certainly not unwilling to call attention to this kind of egregious contact or conduct that we're getting from these leftists.
Absolutely. And really, I want to do it with both hats on. I want people to understand, you know, the Republican Party was a party that was born out of the abolition movement. And we are still a party that is doing our very best to fight for freedom for everyone. And what, you know, when you have a governor that orders people in a county to wear a mask under penalty of prosecution and jail in a county that has never had a single case of COVID. That's the kind of action that takes freedom away from people. And people need to see the stark contrast between how Republicans would govern the state and are governing the country and what the Democrats would do.
One thing I've really enjoyed as Republican National Committee man elect is I'm getting more access to be able to see all of the mechanisms that are in place around the state as the Republicans gear up for the election in November. And in spite of what I've heard, and including from people that I like and trust sometimes, it sure looks to me like the Trump team is aggressively on the ground here, that there is a good amount of money coming from the RNC for Trump victory and for Cory Gardner's seat. It just outrageous for me that some people somehow think that the Trump campaign has already given up Colorado and we just need to get ready for the inevitable slaughter. What's your response to folks who truly believe that that's the case?
We have a record amount of money being spent in Colorado right now by Republicans at all levels. The president and the RNC in a joint effort, and Jefferson Thomas, who is the leader of that effort on the ground here in Colorado, 50 paid staff, more than a dozen field offices, hundreds of volunteers. It couldn't be further from the truth. If President Trump didn't want to play here, he would pull his resources and he'd go to Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan. It's just not happening. Colorado is one of the seven or eight states that this president is focused on winning, and he intends to win this state. He's pouring resources into this state, and people just need to understand that when they say things like Colorado was in a play, they create sort of this lack of enthusiasm among volunteers, and it just isn't true. And I'm so glad that the volunteers see that this is in play, and they are working very hard.
Latest Rasmussen poll from yesterday has Trump's approval 1 point higher at 49% than Obama had at this point at the end of his first term, coming up to his reelection effort. And support in the black and other minority communities is at record highs for this president. And people forget that Donald Trump won more votes in the state of Colorado, lost by about 5% to Clinton, where Romney lost by 8% and McCain lost by 9 or 10%. It is fair to argue that at least in presidential years, this state is trending back toward Republicans. And now we've got a ground game to help generate more of that enthusiasm and bring those voters to the table.
Absolutely. And we're going to see resources pour in to Cory's race also from both sides of the political spectrum. You're going to see a lot of commercials starting in August, September, October about the Senate race. That's going to get people knowledgeable about not just candidates, but really the parties and where the parties stand. In my home county of Weld, Randy, you know, the governor has done his best to shut down oil and gas development. There's a lot of people here whose jobs depend on oil and gas, and a lot of others who benefit from those oil and gas jobs, the people who own the restaurants and all the other businesses in this community. And I think that's true on the Western Slope and many other areas. We also have some really important ballot issues. We have the national popular vote. We've got the ban on late-term abortions. Those are going to drive people to the polls, and people are going to know the party that is fighting for freedom, and they're going to know the party that is fighting for anarchy.
Shoot, Ken, well, the music is in the background. We are up against it. I just want to encourage everybody, quit looking to somebody else to do something. Connect with the Colorado GOP, with your pocketbook, with your shoe leather, with your phone dial ability, whatever it is, and stop listening to the news and the detractors. They are trying to dishearten you. We can win this fight, and I am very excited about working with you and Christy and everybody else as we run up to November. Thanks so much, Ken. The book is Capital of Freedom. You can get it on Amazon. When I get my copy, we'll read it, and we'll talk about it again. God bless you, sir. I hope to see you soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Better believe it. Well, I am sorry to everybody on the lines. We had full lines from before the show started, right through, and we didn't get to this last bunch. But that's it. I'm Randy Corporan. Always remember, never forget, God loves you. So do I. Stay brave.